You are now tuned in to the Wrestling Purists.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another retro review, courtesy of your very own Wrestling Purists. As always, my tag team partner, Jeff. My name is Ryan. We are diving into the Ring of Honor poll once again. This time it is the 14th anniversary show. This is from 2016. There are two nights we're going to focus on. Night one of the pay-per-view. We talked a little bit about this off and on again with Ring of Honor kind of being in the forefront of kind of what we see in professional wrestling today. And I think it was you, the last show or the show before, you were saying you can see all these guys for $30, you know, in a gym in 2016. So what makes Ring of Honor pre All In so dang awesome?
I would tell you that it's, let's open up the curtain here. Listen, we are the wrestling purist, and I stand behind that. It's not a gimmick. It's not a thing. We love pure wrestling. Obviously, we watch everything on this podcast or show or whatever we think this is or you guys think this is. But Ring of Honor is that to the highest degree. A lot of people don't understand that for the real wrestling purists and wrestling fans, that Ring of Honor has been it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And again, they're just like every other promotion in history. Everything they do is in a home run. That's fair. We're going to get to some of that stuff on this card. But for the wrestling purists and, you know, and the in-the-know wrestlers from 04, 05, when they were just barely, you know, bubblegum and tacks, like holding that place together, to even now, it's a place where wrestlers go to learn their craft, hone their craft, and then they it was a one-stop shop, and then they get to their craft and they reach heights in Ring of Honor. Because there was a time where Ring of Honor or WWE didn't care about indie talent at all, like forever. So you could peak in Ring of Honor and be the guy there, and that was that. So again, it's just wrestling. It's just pure wrestling at its finest. All these guys cut their teeth there. They stay for a while. They don't. They do this and do that. But the Ring of Honor guys generally are just absolutely amazing. And just like you said to open the show, a lot of these guys and girls, you could see, and it's not a knock. I mean, you could see for $30, $40 in a front row in a cage match, Steve Corino, Austin Aries, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. I'm sure I'm leaving a bunch of people out, but just, you know, Okada, Kobayashi. Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Like, now in the wrestling climate that we're now, you know, the 2017 and on fans, I've seen everybody at Ring of Honor for, you know, for just pennies on the dollar, just pure wrestling for pennies on the dollar. Like, I seen Kazuchika Okada in Baltimore, Maryland. Like, you heard me right. In, yeah, Baltimore, Maryland. Yes, it's not the Tokyo Dome, and that's fair. But, you know, you can't win them all. So, you know, I'm sorry, Cod, for, you know, Ring of Honor's my baby. I apologize for going on this, you know.
No, you're fine. And I think it speaks to kind of what WWE would catch on to kind of later into the 2010s is there's some true talent here. And even if you look at old school, like Florida Championship Wrestling, a lot of the guys that you see on AEW, current day Ring of Honor, WWE, there are guys that are still going now, guys that are released. We just saw Cesaro not resign last week, you know, and you know he was in the late stages of FCW and was on the first NXT show, you know. So that's just one example, as you were saying, that you could rattle off similar to like the 1,004 holds of friggin' Jericho of just guys that have had a cup of coffee at least. You can talk about Lance Storm had a couple of Fit Finley had a cup of coffee in friggin' Ring of Honor in the 2010s. So
Raven.
Yeah. Yeah. And
his feud with CM Punk, the work Jerry Lynn did, like even toward the end of his career, he went to Ring of Honor and just had another 3 or 4 years where he was just amazing. And it's also a thing where like the Ring of Honor guys, like those were your guys. Like Vince can do a lot of things, but he can't take these guys. You know, not so much now, but there was a time where, I mean, those are your guys. You know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, we do some more of these Ring of Honor reviews. We put some more exposure on the brand because they're coming back in April. They're putting a card together. They just announced another match today. Alex Zane versus Swerve. So that's on the card along with the Briscoes, along with the Ring of Honor World title match. So a lot of good stuff happening. Hoping Ring of Honor gets back going. So on commentary, I asked you before we got going here. So we have Kevin Kelly and Mr. Wrestling 3 on commentary. Mr. Wrestling 3, also known as the wonderful Steve Corino. So we're already off to a great start.
Yeah, I knew that. I was just, I don't know, my mind tends to jump to thinking I know it all.
Yeah. Well, the pre-show match, we don't go into those, but you can find it on YouTube. If you just go to the page and search for it, it's a four corner survival match. You have Silas Young going over Cheeseburger, Gato, and Will Ferrara, kind of a who's who of not only Ring of Honor, but then you throw Gato in there. Not a bad opener at all for that. But transitioning right into the three-way match for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, it is Tomohiro Ishii defending against Roddy Strong and Bobby Fish. So originally, this was just supposed to be a singles match but between Roddy and Bobby Fish. But a week before this pay-per-view, you had Ishii go over Strong in the main event of Honor Rising, night one. So now we have a triple threat. So this is actually two that we're going to have on this card, including the main event. But Jeff, this is your baby. I'll let you kick us off here. What did you think of our opening contest?
Okay, so the overall match was fine. There were a couple things that I didn't enjoy that I, you know, but one I felt, you know, if you got Ishii wrestling Roddy, I think just naturally Fish kind of seemed out of place. You know, if you have two hard hitters, Strong style, pun intended, you know, so he kind of fell out of place. And again, not that he wasn't holding his own. He's Bobby Fish. He's a fantastic wrestler. But I don't know. He seemed a little out of place. But, I mean, the match was fine. It wasn't your WWE style where one guy is out of the ring for 45 minutes. You know, I'm exaggerating here. But, you know, and you see him up on the apron, and he's just looking, waiting for his time to break up a three count. There was a little bit of that, but not just, you know, a whole 10 minutes of it, you know, when you tally it up at the end. I didn't like the three count. Ishii, he powerbombed
the powerbomb spot. Yep.
Yeah. Again. Now listen. Hey, listen. We are wrestling purists, and I am going to. You know, people call me a hater, and again, I don't mind it. I enjoy it. I wear it with a badge of honor. Yep. I'm from the old school where being a hater doesn't bother me one bit. So I'm going to openly hate on everything evenly. You know, again, I'm not a everything in the past is better than everything new. I think we can all come to our own conclusions on whatever we watch. That was a bad spot. But, you know, like we say, you know, on the Wrestling Purists, and if you go back and you listen to my man Cod, referee discretion, you count to three. And if it goes sideways, and it goes sideways, you know, That's on the talent. It should have been over right then and there, you know, so on and so forth. But other than that, COD, it was a good match. What say you?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty solid opener. I do think, like you said, there was not necessarily one of these things is not like the other, but there was some working out there between the three guys when they were in the ring together. And then it did kind of fall into that trope of, you know, you have one guy hanging out on the outside of the ring for a little bit and two guys just going at it. I'm going to be honest, that powerbomb spot really put a bad taste in my mouth. For a match that was actually a really good opener. Mm-hmm. There are not as many spots in the early portion of the match that I remember. It's that spot that I remember. And, you know, I know we've all watched the, you know, Hogan Warrior match from Halloween Havoc 98. You know, what's the one moment in that match you remember the most?
Mm-hmm.
It's the botch fireball.
Yep.
You know, and it's, yeah. You know, and it's not to that. This is nowhere near that. I'm just making the comparison that whether you have something that's going really well or something that's going bad, there's that one botch that people remember, and then nobody remembers anything else in the match, which is really unfortunate, because I think that not only Ishii going over Roddy Strong before this, but then winning here, I thought he looked really strong. I thought we really had something here going forward, because even after the, you know, powerbomb spot botch, I mean, he still manages to, you know, to finish him out, retain the title. So this was definitely, like I said, solid, one of the better matches, I think, on the card. And that's saying something, because this card is stacked.
I also think that one, you expect Ring of Honor to be better because they are. Yes. And two, I think it's even worse in the sense of, if it's WWE and the wrestling's not that great, it's like a, you know, whatever. But if you have good wrestling and this is in the middle of it, like you said, it's like, you know, you really take away from the card / show / match, you know, with something like that.
Yeah, it was a little. Oh, it didn't take away from the purest aspect of this, that, yeah, there was that botch, but the rest of the match was really good. But at the same time, it's like, there's only so much leeway that you can give in a situation like that. And mm-hmm. I don't remember who the official was on the match, but we just got to be better. Yeah.
It wasn't your dad.
Thank God. For those who don't know, because you've never seen this gorgeous mug, I have a resemblance to Ring of Honor senior official Todd Sinclair. So one of my many gimmicks would be Cod Sinclair. So, Dad, if you're listening to this, we love you, Dad. Always count to three.
While I'm at it, again, Ring of Honor is not beyond their, you know, their issues. Everybody does. Everybody has them. The timing for this whole show was off for me, just on what matches got what time. I don't know. I think some of the matches that you think should have went earlier went longer, and some of the matches you think were going to go longer went shorter. It just seemed like, we'll get into it later, but the six-man tag just sucked all the time out of this thing. Oh, and yeah, the matches before that and after that were kind of just, I don't know, rushed or not long enough, I guess.
Yeah. All right. moving on to our next match. This is just a grudge match between former Decade members Hangman Adam Page and BJ Whitmer. I mentioned BJ Whitmer after the show last week, and you were like, ooh, boy, haven't heard BJ Whitmer in a hot minute. This is okay. That's as best as I can do for this one. I think this is good for getting Hangman on the card, because he's still a young talent at this point. You know, still roughly, you know, still smoothing out some of the edges. But it felt like this is one that could have been left for like the main event of like a Ring of Honor like TV episode. Go ahead. What did you think?
I would agree the same. I think you have a Hangman here. Well, he is still kind of green here at this point.
Yeah.
BJ Whitmer is I mean, he's an elder statesman at this point, but I like BJ Whitmer. I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't even know his work. And it's not that he's like some wrestling savant, no, but he's a really good bad heel. Like he can get really good heat. All that stuff he did in Ring of Honor, it was like Colby Carino and all that, Steve Carino's son, and he was like he was his lackey, whipping boy for a little bit. Like all that stuff was great. I just think these two guys, where they were in their careers here, and just this angle just wasn't the greatest. Like you said, it was a match. It would have been the main event at the house show, or even if that, you know, the match before the main event. So again, you know, just a match. The chair spot too.
Oh yeah, come on, Dad.
Like the kitchen chair, the dining room chair that's in there.
Yeah, it seemed like I don't know. I think the word is like convention hall. Like you go to those big convention centers, and they have those foldable chairs. Yeah, yeah. I did not like the finish. And again, two matches in a row where the match is overshadowed by one kind of wonky spot. And, you know, you had Hangman bringing chairs into the ring. And then you get Todd Sinclair who takes him away. Whitmer hits a low blow, rolls up. Adam Page gets the win. And then he tries to hit the rite of passage. Page tries to hit the rite of passage after the match. BJ Whitmer gets away, but then he beats up a bunch of security guards. So
yeah,
that's kind of the other thing, is that this is something that you would see on like one of your weekly shows. And that was my driving point for this, is this television stuff that's like, oh, this is the guy you want to see finally go over, you know, the baddie, you know, at the pay-per-view, you know, not at the pay-per-view. You're like, oh, well, then what happens?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, 100%. And again, there was a part where it was just like, well, what's the rhyme? You know, why is Hangman beating up people after the, you know, like, what's the rhyme or reason to it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. Because you know what we got next. The Boys!
The Boys.
Listen. God, I love me the Tate Twins. We saw them at Next Gen back in October.
God, seems like years.
I know. Ugh. All right. Well, we have God, what do they call him? They call him the Patriarch of Planet Peacock. Mr. Dalton Castle himself being accompanied by said boys, taking on Hirooki Goto and
Two things. One, I'm pretty sure I have a Planet Peacock shirt floating around here somewhere.
Son of a bitch. Of course you do.
I do, actually. And then two, just say that out loud. Hirooki Goto.
Yep.
Versus Dalton Castle.
In 2016.
It's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know what? And this is a pretty darn solid match, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're recognizing a trend here, you know, and this is actually the first match that doesn't leave like a weird feeling in your body. You know, this was just a solid match.
Yeah. Yeah. Goto is a star.
Yeah. Always. And again, always has been.
Yep. Credit to Matt Lilly. That's his guy. And like he says, he's just born in the wrong era. You know, if Goto was 15 years from now, or maybe 10 years earlier, he'd be the guy. But, man, he's just stuck behind Okada and everybody else. But this match is really good. Dalton Castle is great. And the beauty of Dalton Castle is he can give you – I don't want to even put him in that category. People love Orange Cassidy, you know, for whatever reason, but Dalton Castle is actually legit. Like, he has his funny, and his gimmick is his gimmick, but he can wrestle. And I'm not saying OC can't wrestle. He can wrestle. But when it's time to pour it on, I mean, he can go toe-to-toe with Goto or Okada or whoever. Like, you know, he won the belt. The heavyweight ring around a heavyweight belt, and like, yes, he's a gimmick, but it wasn't gimmicky that he had it. He was a wrestling champion, you know, fighting champion. So yeah, this match was great.
Yeah, and I think that Dalton Castle's character work is pretty spot on. I think I'm trying to find a good comparison because we've had our fair share of world champions that have definitely been in the same character grouping as him. Now he has another character. He has another gimmick, and that would be Ashley Remington. Okay. Now I think that's way more gimmicky and hokey, more towards the OC than his Dalton Castle gimmick.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Because that Ashley Remington stuff is the opposite of what we look for in a traditional wrestling match, but it gets you in that Dalton Castle-esque way that like he just knows how to deliver it, and he knows how to work the crowd. You know,
he's Dalton Castle. He's not a guy playing Dalton Castle. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It works for him because that's who he is, give or take, you know, whatever, whatever.
Yeah. And so, like I said, this match was solid. There was a slight botch towards the end of this, which I honestly think, and from what it looked like the first couple times I watched it, is Hirooki Goto didn't realize like the size of Dalton Castle. And it just looked really weird when he went to go like pick him up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think what you get too is when you're getting on some of this Worlds Collide stuff, and you got guys from other promotions coming working with guys that they never worked with and only worked once. It's just like when you go to any event, football, basketball, I would say baseball, but it's not a sport. So hockey, literally anything else. You see these athletes and these people on TV, but when you see them doing their thing live, it's completely different. And I think maybe it's that, because I'd even tell you too, a lot of people, if you've never seen Dalton Castle in person, he's a big dude. He's not, you know,
solid.
No, he's a big dude. So, I mean, there's some of that too. I think some of these wrestlers, and not that they shouldn't be professional, and I'm not making excuses, But, you know, if you've never lifted a guy before, you know, or you've never worked with a guy before, I mean, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. And the first time was a little faily. The second time he hit it, wins the match. Code of Honor is adhered to. Again, pretty solid match. Dalton Castle would eventually go on to win the Ring of Honor world title. I really hope we can circle the wagon back to that here this summer. Watching the Best in the World show we all went to. That'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to our next matchup, it is Christopher Daniels versus Alex Shelley. And this falls into the same category for me as the Adam Page BJ Whitmer match, is that this is this could have been a TV match and it would have been fine.
This actually was a TV match. And that's the problem. So listen, the match isn't bad necessarily. I mean, you have run-ins, you have Kazarian, you have Saban, you have Motor City Machine Guns getting back together after a while of not being together in Newsflash. I'm like the only person in the world that doesn't like the Motor City Machine Guns, you know, so crucify me. But yeah, this kind of had a lot going on. I don't know. I did laugh to myself. I haven't seen them referred to as the Addiction in a long time. I didn't forget, but I was just like, oh, the good old fashioned the Addiction.
Addiction.
Yeah. What'd you think, Con?
Like I said, this is another TV match for me, and the crowd was out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get into it, and so if you look at the matches we had before this, it was the three-way hard-hitting, BJ Whitmer, Adam Page hard-hitting. The Goto Dalton Castle match was kind of getting there but wasn't there yet. This was just another kind of mat workish kind of match. Mm-hmm. It was more on the technical side, and the crowd just wasn't having it. You know, this is where, personally, this is where I would have put the 6-man match, because you could kind of tell the crowd was out of it by this point. They needed something to kind of get picked back up. And I think when we get to the six man, it's fine where it is, but as a card in general, when we're talking about match flow and card flow and, you know, match to match, I think by this point they just didn't want another technical match. They just wanted something a little more stylish, a little more death-defying.
Trust me, they're gonna get that.
They're gonna get it. And I know I put this in the same boat as the BJ Whitmer Adam Page match. This was better than that, I think, just by a hair. But again, overbooked, too many run-ins.
Yep.
Yeah, it was all right. It was fine. We do get Alex Shelley get the win. You can see Alex Shelley this weekend as he makes his return to Impact Wrestling to face the Switchblade Jay White. You got to get on that Impact, Jeff.
Poor Switchblade.
Sorry. Let me clarify, because Jeff watches Impact Wrestling and watches TNA. Current day Impact Wrestling, I don't think you watch as much.
No, I was watching more, I don't know, 6 months ago, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I need to watch more. I watched Punk and Danielson on Punk Danielson and MJF, whatever they're doing on, and Switchblade, whatever they're doing on AEW, and that's it. And then New Japan.
Because I think Impact's hitting it out of the park right now.
Okay, I'll check
they're it out. They're using their talent to their strengths of their roster, and I'm not going to sink this ship with talk of Impact Wrestling, you know. But if you're not on the Impact train now, now is the time to get on it. You're behind, but now is the time to get on it.
God, I'll definitely get on it. I will. But I was on hard to the draw when why am I drawing it?
Sammy Callahan.
Yes. When Sammy Callahan was doing his thing as Brian Cage, all of that stuff was great. That was an old school feel, and I was all in on all that. But you know, I guess I need to get myself back in, I guess.
Yeah. Even the card for Sacrifice doesn't look bad. You do have Heath getting a world title match against Moose, though. So I mean,
take that. I mean,
yeah, they've sold it pretty well. So I'm all for it. But too much Impact, not enough Ring of Honor. We're moving on to the tag team match between the first inductees into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame class of 2022. That would be Jay and Mark the Briscoes taking on the team of Michael Elgin and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
One, the Briscoes are the best tag team in the world.
Yeah.
Two. Well, actually, okay. You go first, Kyle. I want to see what you have to say. What did you think about Tana and Elgin's tag team partnership?
I first want to start off by correcting myself. That'd be the Unbreakable Michael Elgin. I actually thought this was a pretty good match. I thought. Now here's my only thing, because I enjoyed their work in the World Tag League more than this, but I thought this was still up to par with even some of the lower profile matches in the World Tag League. I mean, obviously it's not on par with the Briscoes because they're not tagging every other day, but
yeah.
I thought this was a solid tag match.
Okay. So again, on this show, we are objective, and I wanted you to go, Cod, first, just to make sure, you know, you guys pulling back the curtain behind the mic thinking, you know, we're yucking it up with each other.
We kind of are.
No, but I thought they were really good as well.
Yeah.
Like the Briscoes speak for themselves, and that's, I don't need to say anything that hasn't been said on the Briscoes. Again, they're the best tag team in the world, and they prove it every time they wrestle. But Tana and Elgin were really good. I thought they were really good. And I've seen them tag before, so I wasn't surprised. I just hadn't seen it in so long. You know, you're talking, what was this, this is a 2016 show, correct?
This was 2016, but when they were in the World Tag League, it was towards the end of 2015.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's been some time. And they looked really good. Like, if you'd have flown in from space and, you know, watched this wrestling match, I would have thought that they'd been a tag team forever. You know, they were really good. They work well. I enjoyed this match. Shocker. Briscoes are the Briscoes. And I think this is tag team. This is good tag team wrestling it had spots, like, obviously, but this is tag team wrestling before we get to the, you know, the state fair that we're going to be talking about here in a couple more minutes.
I'll let you start that one. You know, I went back and I'm looking at this tag league. This was in 2015. So, November 21st to December 9th, they actually tied for first in A block. The only reason they didn't win A block is because they lost to Hanma and Togi Makabe, which, okay, whatever.
Who was the tag team that they retired with? Like who else came out of that block?
So Elgin Tanahashi had 8 points, Makabe and Hanma had 8 points, Daniels Kazarian 6, Okada Yoshihashi 6, Sakuraba and sorry.
The Yoshihashi.
Talking about strange bedfellows.
Oh boy.
Hold on. Over in the other block, though, get this. Nakamura and Tomohiro Ishii had 6 points.
Ooh.
And then AJ Styles and the Tokyo Pimp had 2 points.
Okay.
But that's only because AJ had a back injury. They had to forfeit all their matches. So they had tag experience, which, you know, and crazy enough, the following year there was a tag team with freaking Billy Gunn in it in the World Tag League, but we'll get to that another day. But no, this was a solid tag match.
Yeah, absolutely.
I enjoyed this more than the tag match we'll see here in a little bit. The actual tag match, not the six man, the other tag match. I mean, so even if you hadn't seen Elgin and Tana tag before, didn't know their history in the World Tag League, you still have the best tag team in the world, the Briscoes. You still have Tana, who's one of the best in the world. Elgin, who probably, as far as North American, like one of the best talents. Like,
yes,
I mean, if you're just talking about
Elgin in the ring was that dude, and a lot of the Ring of Honor fans didn't know, and nor did I at the time because we're marks. Everybody wanted them to put the belt on Elgin. Well, they didn't because he's Canadian and he had something wrong with a visa or something like that. He wasn't a legal citizen. So they couldn't put the belt on him or he was a legal alien or whatever. So be it, he didn't have the right papers to be wrestling in the USA, even though he was wrestling in the USA. So they couldn't put the belt on him because, you know, that involves a lot of showtime and a lot of heat, but he was that dude for a long time, a really good wrestling.
Yeah. And so you get all those guys in the ring together. It's no surprise that this was a good match. Like it was going to happen. All four guys are single stars on their own.
Yep.
I also like on commentary how Tana didn't adhere to the code of honor because he didn't respect chicken farmers. So that kind of popped me. But top to bottom, this was an enjoyable tag match. Obviously, Elgin Bomb, high fly flow, get him the win. Of course, if you're looking at Tana and Elgin as a tag team and they're in Ring of Honor and you're pairing them up with the Briscoes, who needs the win more? And I'd argue that it would be Tanahashi and Elgin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the Briscoes are so good that they're not like the Young Bucks. If they lose and everybody will be butthurt and it hurts their internet show or their whatever, the Briscoes can lose and it's completely fine because they're the Briscoes. Everything they do is believable. They're the legit tough guys and they're the best tag team in the world.
Don't forget that they had their WWE tryout in 2009. They were turned down because they were not quote unquote cosmetically pleasing to suit WWE's current programming at the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, nine sounds about right because, I mean, Punk took a lot of heat too got tattoos and God forbid you be on TV with tattoos. A world champion, I guess.
Yes. Speaking of world champions, we have the current Impact Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion. That would be Moose, being accompanied by Stokely Hathaway. You might know him as current day Malcolm Bivens in NXT 2.0. taking on Kazuchika Okada and accompanied by Gato. Jeff, what did you think of this one?
Okay, again, I'm going to beat this horse to death and pass that. Kazuchika Okada in just the middle of a card.
Yep.
In Ring of Honor. That's all. Just another hum-ho for $40, you know, tops you're paying this to sit up front and watch Kazuchika Okada. I enjoyed this. This was kind of like dropkick versus dropkick, a little bit. This iteration of Moose, I enjoyed, and it goes to show you, if you look at him here to where he is now, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that he looks as good as he does now. He's a consummate professional. He's always carried himself that way. I mean, he's also, ex-NFL left tackle. So, I mean, he's obviously no stranger to, being physical and just, performing to some extent, So I just want to give Moose his respect because he's grown so much and he is a legit badass. And like I tell people all the time, and this isn't my take. They've been saying this before I was born, and they'll say when I'm in the ground. Some guys, the belt doesn't make you. You have to be the guy, and Moose is the guy. Mm. He's always been that guy. He's that guy now. He could carry the WWE, the Ring of Honor, the TNA, the AEW champion, the heavyweight championship, and you wouldn't bat an eye because he is that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he just is. Cod, when we saw him at Next Gen, he walked in and everybody was just like, oh shit, like that's Moose, and like, he's legit. Like, yep. Yes.
And look, obviously, when we saw him at first, you could tell he was trying to maintain like a low profile because he's just trying to chill before everything gets going and whatnot. And look, I caught a picture of this man eating yogurt. Okay, eating yogurt at his friggin' table. That's a large man.
Okay, well, one, you can say low key all you want, but when you're damn near 7 foot tall and have 4% body fat, 2% body fat, good luck. Two, he had to sit away from the table because his knees didn't fit under it. He's just an absolute specimen.
God bless.
Again, I know I take heat for this. I just don't understand how you can look at Moose and look at Kenny Omega and tell me how Kenny Omega is more of a bad guy than Moose, a believable bad guy. Get out of here. Sorry. This match was good. Again, Moose is a little green here. So maybe it's not his best work. He's not at the height of his powers yet. But, man, I think if you're in the ring running the ropes and rubbing elbows with Okada, I think you're all right. I think you're doing okay. I don't think Ring of Honor just sticks. I mean, I don't think Okada is like a jerk or anything like that, but I don't think Okada comes off from all the way over to Japan just to wrestle a smuck. So I think if Ring of Honor trusted Moose enough to put him in there, then against Okada, then I think that says something.
Yeah, this was definitely a tit for tat match for me as well. You were saying dropkick for dropkick, same thing. And the other thing Moose has going for him, especially being as green as he is that he's working hard. Is that you see talent who's green and, you obviously work out spots before the match and some stuff you're calling in the ring, but you can tell who's really green just if they're just working for the spot and not working for the match. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like, you see that on NXT 2.0 now constantly where, you have some talent that's more green than others. But just the way we go from spot to spot or moment to moment, probably not as good because the effort isn't focused on the match. It's focused on the spot. And I think in terms that all of these Gen Zers will understand. Moose understood the assignment.
Yes, that's a modern wrestling problem. Like, you know, I've got to nail the spot. Well, I mean, you can nail the spot, but can you nail the match? You know, that's those are two different things. And just because you do 10 spots, nail those spots, doesn't mean it was a good match necessarily. You know, so yeah, I think you're right on the mark with that one.
Obviously, Okada's one of the best in the world. He's going to pick up the win here. God, how did he win this? Did he win Rainmaker or did he win Money Clip? This wasn't Money Clip yet, so it was Rainmaker.
No, he won Rainmaker.
Okay.
Rainmaker.
I love Kevin Kelly. Who would have thought, okay, in late 90s WWF, you had Kevin Kelly, okay, then. And 2022, Kevin Kelly, like, the face of, like, New Japan commentary. It blows my mind as, like, when I started getting into New Japan, which was probably when AJ was over there. I was drawn to it. And then to hear Kevin Kelly, I'm like, that voice is friggin' familiar. And then to pop up, oh, hey, okay, cool. Like, it just kind of takes you back for a second.
Yeah, and that's also the time, too, where you have WWF or WWE going through their stuff where they're, you know, they're entertainment, not wrestling. So, you know, they don't want, you know, they want, like Michael Cole, who, you know, didn't have any wrestling experience, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But they were, yes, you know, pushing more entertainment people. Like, you know, if you knew wrestling and you knew what was going on, they didn't necessarily want you. They want you to taint their program with wrestling you knew before you got there, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, agreed. All right. We have the never openweight 6-man tag team championships on the line, as you have the makeshift team of Kushida, ACH, and Matt Sydal taking on the elite, the elite. That would be the Young Bucks and your current IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Kenny Omega.
All right, go ahead, God. Do your thing.
This was really good. Listen, I know this isn't your cup of tea, and that's okay, because, you know, like what you like. If you haven't seen this style of match before, it's definitely one you want to circle on your match card. If you have seen this already, I think it's good enough for a second watch. I think, obviously, the Elite work well together. The Bucks and Kenny have been working together now for a while. Kenny Omega back in Ring of Honor for the first time since 2010? Question mark? I know it's been a long time. Just like Ishii, they won the never openweight titles the week before the show. So I mean, it's a Young Bucks match. Is there a better way to describe it, Jeff?
I'll say my piece and then Kai can go.
Oh God.
For the type of people that like this stuff, this is the type of stuff that those people like. It's like you said, it's your classic elite match. I mean, the only thing it was missing was the kitchen sink, the bearded lady, the two-headed snake. You know, oh my gosh. All that's all this match was missing. you know, do everything, you know, just everything under the sun, super kicks to the wazoo, super kick, super kick, super kick. Again, I understand I'm a hater. I don't mind it. This isn't my cup of tea. I understand I'm in the minority. I understand that people are going to say this is the greatest man tag team. I get all that. Again, just not my cup of tea. I think these guys get a lot of credit, which is some, but some is deserved. I'm not knocking them. They're obviously good wrestlers. I'm not getting on into that. They're good wrestlers. But again, I mean, wrestling is repetition, and I understand that. But like, they do their spots and all their stuff. And this is my problem with this wrestling. These people, I didn't watch wrestling until 2017. For all the people that I've been watching this stuff forever, you know, and I get it's a new TV show, but then I have to watch this stuff on Dynamite, and they've been doing this stuff forever already now. But, you know, but whatever. So, Cod, go ahead and speak your piece, my brother.
No, and you know what? This is what I'm driving at is this is a Young Bucks match. And I'm struggling to describe it further than that, because if you've seen a Young Bucks tag match, even in AEW, this is kind of just the same. Not the same as in like, oh, it's the same, I don't want to watch it again, but it's the same flippy do. They're working together really well.
Is it safe to say if you've seen one of these matches, you've seen them all?
If it's not a gimmick match, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say gimmick match because I'm talking about like the match they had with the Lucha Brothers at, well, which time?
Everywhere.
Yeah. So no ladder involved, no cage involved. You know, I think this is, you know,
you mean like one of the match.
And look, you know, this is not Jeff's wheelhouse, okay? It doesn't have to be, okay? But if you're looking to watch a Young Bucks match, this is it. If you don't like it, just skip it. It's okay, because that's what this is. Omega hits the One-Winged Angel. It's a win. I feel like I'm really underselling this for how good it was. Because let's be honest, okay, we're purists. The match was clean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I don't think you're underselling it. You're not wrong in what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just that I think the natural, even you, who's someone who watches wrestling, has just become numb to it because everything is done at all times. Like, there's nothing else for them to do. So I think, again, when you see this match, like, it's a great match, but hell, I mean, if you turn on Dynamite, you'll see one almost, you know, like, just as good, depending on if you're watching, like, one of their bigger pay-per-views or, you know, whenever they do the, you know, like, the bigger Dynamites or whatever they are, you know. So, again, it's not bad wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, you're taking the spaceship, you're taking the rocket to the moon every single match.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the rocket goes to the moon all the time, well, hell, you don't care about it.
It's fair. You said you just said natural, and all I could think of is they call him the natural.
The natural.
Oh.
Can we do the at some point, can we just break down the promo of Seven? You know? Or
take a good long look at what the big dress being. we'll have to throw that in as a segment. But speaking of your boy, we have a no disqualification tag team match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Titles. It is the All Night Express. That would be Kenny King and your boy, Rhett Titus, taking on the current champions. They go by something else now. I think it's the Viking Experience.
War Raiders? War Horse?
coming from you, that's a good pull, because he just seems like another guy that's not your total cup of tea.
I'm sorry, everybody who's going to look on this podcast and think this thing's 3 hours long. War Horse, a guy that everybody was like, oh, this guy's a king of the indies, he's so good, because y'all don't know anything about wrestling. Then the guy gets on Dynamite, looks like a complete schmuck.
Oh,
like, just absolutely just tiptoeing around like nobody's business. And again, I stick to this. Never forget, he got like 15 minutes with Cody, and you know, for the TNT challenge, blah 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 blah. So he got 15 minutes. And Scorpio Sky got snuffed out in like 4. But that's, I digress.
Yeah. But back to this match, we're of course talking about War Machine. That would be Hanson and Rey Monroe. Why they've changed their names to Eric and Ivar just to have rights to it. Who cares? War Machine and Ring of Honor, before they made the jump, they were probably one of the best tag teams, I would say top 5 or 10 in the world.
I agree 100%. And Ring of Honor has always had great tag teams. Like, the Young Bucks coming there was good, but the Young Bucks also acted like Ring of Honor didn't have good tag teams, and that wasn't true. Like, do the Young Bucks add to a good tag team division? Yeah, absolutely. And I understand people want to see the Young Bucks. I'm not getting on them. But let's not slight Ring of Honor. Like, they've never had good tag team wrestling, or they needed the Young Bucks and the Elite to save the tag team division. No, the tag team division has always been good. And that's why, you know, everybody in this tag team division has good matches. Because at that time, even, you know, years later before, it was a good tag team division. So, yeah, I mean, that, you know, the War Raiders, Viking Raiders, Viking whatever, War Machine was great.
Yeah. 2-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. This is their only Ring of Honor world title run, what we're looking at now, which is hard to believe.
Was that 2016? God, time is just going by
fast. Yeah. Listen, they would have another year and a half in Ring of Honor before they would make the jump to NXT. They were at Final Battle 2017. Who'd they face? Oh, they went over the Addiction. And then they would make the jump. They did some New Japan dates. But I can't describe this match. It's a no disqualification match, but it's not a fight without honor.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, it's just really weird to me. This was a good match. What are you thinking about it? Because I really can't describe it, because it's really, the crowd doesn't want this match, and it's very clear.
Well, let me ask you this: is it the crowd doesn't want this, or is this, you know, after you see everything and done under the sun done, and it sucks all the energy out the room? Which I'm not saying it shouldn't. Like, hats off to those guys. I think any match would have been in this spot, and it probably would have got, you know, I don't know. I think you're just emotionally exhausted after watching, you know, the 6-man tag team, you know, cut each other's heads off in the ring and wrestle after that. But yeah, I think, like I said, I think any match suffers from, you know, from coming on after this match. I definitely wouldn't have put my tag team champions on after this match, after you have a sixth, after 6 men like that, I think I think this is where you have a bathroom break and you maybe put on BJ Whitmer and Adam Page right here. So, you know, there's no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I'm not a booker and I'm not saying everything I said is right either. Who knows?
Listen, when you're the third best tag match on a card with 9 matches plus a dark match.
But like I said before, this timing, the timing on all these were just, the match lengths were weird. Not weird, but just, I don't know. They all just didn't seem right.
Yeah. And
enough or not enough or too little. It just was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and this is yet another match that I think would have been better suited for Ring of Honor television. And I know you have to have your filler matches in your major pay-per-view card. I get that.
Yeah.
But this is a match where you had brawling in the crowd, weapons. They each kicked out of the other team's finish. But like you said, it was being in the wrong spot on the card.
I want to say too, Rhett kicked out of their finish. I think that was the first time that somebody kicked out of their finish too, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah. Let's, you can see where that's gotten us. And the crowd is exhausted. You know, you know what? The 6-man takes them out of it, but even go 2 matches back, you know, you had Tanahashi Elgin. You know, that match was really good. You had Okada and Moose. That was really good. You had the 6-man. Really good. So I think the AEW struggles with this now still from time to time. Not as consistently as they did when they first started, but it's like banger, 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 banger. There's no room to breathe. And on this card, though, all of your breathing matches are towards the first half. So, like, Whitmer, Adam Page, Shelley, Christopher Daniels, hell, even say Goto, Dalton Castle.
Uh-huh.
You could sprinkle the tag matches in. It'd been fine. But you had the triple threat, kind of your filler matches. Then you had 3 banger matches. Now you throw a filler match in here at the end and your crowd's exhausted. It's going to happen.
Yeah. You know?
And, you know, in the end, War Machine hit Fallout for a second time. They get the win. It would have been better suited on a different spot on the card, but for what we got, it was pretty good. Main event time here at Ring of Honor. It is Jay Lethal, the current Ring of Honor world champion, with the House of Truth.
Yeah.
A little bit of Truth Martini action here. And Taylor Hendricks. And he is taking on both Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Here in our main event. Jeff, it's the main event. It's Ring of Honor. What are your thoughts on this one?
This iteration of this House of Truth, Jay Lethal with Truth Martini, you know, and he goes on to, well, you know, he wins the heavyweight belt and he has TV title, which I think he's actually the only person to do that. But he was always great and a good wrestler and this, that, and the other, but this House of Truth gimmick took him to another level. And it's crazy to me because, again, he's a guy that was always legit. You know, there wasn't any – his work is great. His character is great. He's great. But just Truth Martini in this House of Truth, like I said, it kind of catapulted him to, it made him not a big time player, like that he wasn't a big time player, but it just made him bigger than life itself, wrestling life itself. I don't know. And you guys know me, I love me some Jay Lethal. Adam Cole is $1 million. He's another guy that I think we may look back on in 20 years and say, not what if, but I don't know. It's like everybody is maybe afraid, not named Ring of Honor, afraid to pull the trigger on this guy. I know AEW has some stuff coming up here soon, so maybe they do something with him, but he's just legit, and I've seen him a million times. He's a small guy. If you've seen me and Adam Cole walk into said place, you probably would know he was a wrestler. Not that I look like anything special, but God, you understand what I'm saying, you know? Like, he just doesn't look like a professional wrestler until you see him in the ring. But, I mean, he's great. Kyle O'Reilly is great.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this match was good, and it was refreshing, and it was Ring of Honor always has a way of putting their world, the world heavyweight champion still means something for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They just don't put it on somebody to put it on somebody. Now, sometimes they'll take a little too long to put it on somebody, and that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather that, though, Cod, than the alternative. Than I don't know, someone getting in, it doesn't necessarily. I don't want to sit in here and decide for us to sound like assholes and say who deserves what, who doesn't, because we're not wrestlers. But you know, kayfabe / mark wise, you know. But yeah, I think this was no different than what they usually do. They put their wrestlers and their belt in a good light. This was a good match. This was, again, a triple threat without having all the weird spots. There was a good spot with the ref raising up Lethal's hand, you know what I'm saying, two times, and then it falls, and Cole stops it, and O'Reilly's got Lethal in a triangle choke, and then at the same time, he's got Cole in an ankle lock. I mean, it's just – I thought this match was great, and again, it's a testament to what Ring of Honor does. And why, for the most part, as far as I can remember, their heavyweight title goes on last because it should be. It's a damn heavyweight title. Go ahead, Kat. Sorry.
No, you hit everything. You hit the hammer on the nail there. I think the one thing you take out of this is that. Cole catching Jay Lethal's arm before it hits three, I think that's fantastic. I think that's really good storytelling, good in-ring work. When you can do stuff like that and you're like, you know, why hasn't anybody done this before, you know, in a triple threat or even a tag match? You know, I think we see stuff like that in tag team matches more frequently, especially since you have that element of having a couple extra guys in the ring to do it. We've seen like the double submission spots in tag matches where they both have it locked in. And I want to say DIY and the Revival in NXT. DIY had the double submission locked in, and the Revival were like holding each other's hands, like making sure the other one didn't tap. You know, that's very reminiscent of this, where you know it's something you don't expect, but when it happens, it's like, why has anybody done that before? You know, and to your point, it shows how far ahead of the game the Ring of Honor really was. You know, Jay Lethal does recover from everything, hits a double lethal injection, gets the win, retains, show goes off the air, Jay Lethal and the House of Truth celebrating in the ring. That's it. I thought this is a great finish to the show. And we've already gone over kind of our gripes on the show and the card build. We both agree that the television title match was good. Everything from Tana on was at least good. I think the War Machine, All Night Express kind of was underwhelming. Anything else, Jeff, that I'm missing?
No. Again, the BJ Whitmer and Adam Page again was a match, but probably didn't need to be on the card. But I mean, you know, listen, you know, nothing's perfect. You know, even the almighty Ring of Honor, AEW, and whatever your favorite wrestling is, you can't hit a home run on every single one. But for the most part, I thought this card was great. Again, some stuff I don't like, but that's just me personally. And hell, the people that do like it will probably put this card, love it even more than I did. But it just goes to show you, again, this is 2016. This is, believe it or not, wrestling before 2017. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. And this is why Ring of Honor will always be my favorite wrestling, because it's just, it's wrestling for me. It's wrestling for the people. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And with that, we get another retro review wrapped up. Guys, we are transitioning out of Ring of Honor. And I do want to clarify one thing before we go any further, is that we've been working on this WCW series. So March, WWE's last pay-per-view is supposed to be Greed. And I fudged. We have already reviewed Greed. It is on YouTube. I will share the link on our Twitter page. That way you can see our beautiful faces. It is the last WWE show. So we had to substitute that out for one.
So you're saying we don't have to watch it again?
No.
Oh no.
You schmuck. So Jeff, we're not reviewing any WCW until May.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll be pulling my hair out on my birthday.
That's all right, because next week, as we've already teased, we will have a guest purist on. I don't know what you would call that, just a third wheel or the third leg in a tripod, or
purist council.
Wow, another cog in the purist council.
Council or tribunal, if you will.
Yeah. Oh Jesus. Pulling that, oh Jesus, fucking tribunal from TNA. Either way, we're gonna have our very good friend Eddie Shepherd on next week's retro review. Eddie is one half of the brilliant minds behind Next Generation Wrestling Tennessee, along with his tag team partner Cody Ford. Please, if you haven't seen any of the Next Generation Wrestling stuff, head on over to High Spots. It's the best $9.99 in the biz.
Definitely.
Eddie also is a third of Wrestling Ruined, their own podcast, where right now they're going through the mid-90s, which is perfect. They're going through like Raws from the mid-90s, the Saturday Night Specials, all that stuff. But it's perfect because, next week, as you all know, we're in the midst of WrestleMania season. So we're hitting the WrestleMania hard, guys. It is almost 2 months of WrestleMania reviews. So next week we're going to start with WrestleMania 10. yeah. So, and I gave, I gave Eddie the choice, and this is the one he picked out of a handful that we had planned for the month. So
hopefully he picked it for the right reason. We'll find out if we'll find out, Eddie, if you're listening, we'll find out if you're the man I think you are.
Jeff, obviously, I believe you already know what the first match on this card is.
The first match on this card is one of my favorite matches of all time. It's probably the best opening match on WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's not necessarily, not that that's some accolade that's crazy, but yes, it is.
It's really damn good.
It's Bret the Hitman Hart versus the Black Hart, his brother, Owen Hart. And it's absolutely amazing.
So, you know, I know we've been on this string of not only giving you the opening match, but the main event. Not fair in a case like this. So we are coming off of the heels of the 94 Royal Rumble. And for the first time ever, even to this day, we have co-winners of the 1994 Royal Rumble, which would be Bret Hart and one of your all-time favorites. That would be Sexy Lexi, Lex Luger. So to determine who is going to face the champion at the time, Yokozuna, we had a coin toss. We had a coin toss to determine who would face Yokozuna first. Lex Luger won. And so I will tell you that Lex Luger versus the WWF champion Yokozuna is not the main event. And we will not share with you because it would kind of be giving away the result of what happened.
Don't have a match. Flip a coin. I'll make this a guy wrestle.
I will say that Bret Hart is in the main event. Bret Hart getting the second match either faces Yokozuna or Lex Luger for the title. So we see a lot of Mr. Fuji, a lot of Jim Cornette. I know that makes you happy.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a lot on this to unravel, and I'm hoping that Eddie can give us a historical aspect.
Just going to have to stay tuned, brother.
Yes. with that being said, guys, head on over to the Twitter page. That's at the WP underscore pod. That's THEWP underscore pod. You can find me at Coach Cod on Twitter. You can find Jeff at
Jeff M Hall 1.
Yeah. You can find us on TikTok at TWP underscore TT. If I haven't said it before, I'll say it again, guys. We got merch. There's merch in the store. Okay, it's not a wide selection at the moment. Still working on that personally, but head on over to Bonfire. That is bonfire.com/store/the WPP shop. THEWPP shop. I'll be honest with you. It's an introductory price. We make nickels and dimes off of the prices we have right now. And that's not the point. The point is for you to go buy yourself a t-shirt, buy yourself a long sleeve shirt, support the Wrestling Purist podcast, multiple colors. You can choose between a classic tee, a premium tee, and then a long sleeve shirt for right now. Hoping to get some hoodies in there. We'll have some shorts coming. I know because spring's around the corner. Water bottles, all that good stuff. All that with the Wrestling Purist on it. Okay, so head on over to bonfire.com/store/the WPP shop to get all of your Wrestling Purist podcast merchandise. Or if you want to support us the old-fashioned way, just give us money. You can head on over to Buy Me a Coffee. It's buymeacoffee.com. patreon.com/TWPPOD. That's TWP pod. You can support from a dollar and above. Anything you support is greatly appreciated.
God, look at us trying to hulk up.
Look, I've been working my ass off, man.
Kyle's the hardest working man.
Hey, just trying to spread the good word. Just trying to spread the gospel. Any parting words, Jeff?
Like always, watch new wrestling, old wrestling, new to you. Support local wrestling. You know, just. Watch wrestling, get out there, support your local wrestling, go to a show, buy merch, support these guys and girls, and that's it.
All right. Well, you've listened to us rant and rave. Whether you agree with us or not, you're wrong, because we are the wrestling purists. We'll be right back.